Depression is as old as mankind. Every year in the United States of America, 45,000 people commit suicide. And many more than that try to commit suicide, and they're just not successful. Depression has been called the common cold of our emotions. Depression is in the top 10 diagnoses physicians make every year in our country. Winston Churchill, who suffered from depression, said this: "Depression is like a black dog that follows me everywhere I go." Ernest Hemingway, the best-selling author, suffered such depression that he eventually took his own life. One of the greatest preachers our world has ever known was Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He battled depression. We come to 1 Kings chapter 19, and without a doubt, one of the greatest people of the Old Testament. But James chapter 5 tells us that Elijah was a man of like passions like us. So he was a great man, but Elijah was just a man. And one of the things that Elijah struggled with was depression. And we see it here in 1 Kings chapter 19. So a lot of times you go to church and preachers don't talk about depression because it's not a happy subject. But I'm here to say that God comes to us and he helps us in all of our trials and of all of our tribulations. And we see here in the life of Elijah that God helped him. 1 Kings chapter 19, look at verse 1. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and with all that he had slain all the prophets with a sword. So can you just imagine Ahab going home and telling Queen Jezebel what happened to her 450 prophets of Baal? How the fire fell, and Elijah then went and killed all of these prophets of Baal. But you notice in verse 1, he says all that Elijah had done. You look at 18 verse 38, it says the fire of the Lord did fall, consumed the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust, and even the water in the trench. Ahab doesn't mention the Lord. He doesn't mention God. And that's the way the wicked do. They want to give God no credit for the work that he does. They put him out of sight, out of mind. Notice how Jezebel responds. Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also, if I'm... make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." So Elijah had been a wanted man, but now there's a death warrant on his life. He had killed her prophets, and she says, "Elijah, tomorrow this time you will be dead." Hey, remember? Mount Carmel. Great victory, fire fell. And usually after times of great victory comes great attack from Satan. The smile of God on Carmel. And yet, right after that was the scorn of the devil. A lot of times, not all the time, that's what happens with us. Notice verse 3. And when he saw that. Elijah, a great man, but he's looking at the wrong things. He's looking at Jezebel's threats. He's looking at Jezebel saying, "I'm going to kill you, and tomorrow you'll be swinging from the trees because I'm going to hang you. I'm going to feed you to the dogs." And Elijah, instead of setting his affections on things above, or setting his affections on things below, and what Jezebel is saying. He's forgotten the faithfulness of God by the brook Cherith, forgotten the faithfulness of God there in Zarephath, forgotten the faithfulness of God just a few hours earlier on Mount Carmel. And a lot of times, when depression comes, it comes after times of great victory, And the reason it comes is we've forgotten all the blessings of the Lord. This morning, three steps to recover from a case of the blues. Sermon I've entitled, Defeating Depression. First step, when battling depression, take time and really make time for recuperation. Look at verse 3. When he saw that, he arose and ran for his life, came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and he left his servant there. So he runs for his life. It was 100 miles to Beersheba. He doesn't stop there. Now he's in Judah. King Jehoram was the king of Judah. He had married Ahab's daughter, Jezebel's daughter. So it was not a good place. So he leaves his servant there and he goes on another day's journey. Look at verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, came and sat down under the juniper tree and requested for himself, just let me die. It's enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers. He's discouraged. Oftentimes when we're discouraged, we want to isolate ourselves from people. He gets rid of his servant, goes out into the wilderness. God, let me just die. And he's all alone, just moping and groping. A lot of times we are the same way. We get a case of the blues. I'm just not up to it. I can't go to church. Not going to Sunday school today. If there ever was a time we needed those people, we needed the fellowship of the saints, we needed transparency where they're praying for us and encouraging us. But no, the devil says, yeah, no. You just go off by yourself and you just mope. That's what Elijah does. Goes to the juniper tree, says, let me die, take my life, because he's discouraged. Think about it. Discourage. So courage is gone. That's what discouragement is. It takes all of your courage away because of fear. He's so afraid of this woman and looking at her instead of looking at God. Fear has conquered his faith. He's forgotten that God's in charge, not Jezebel. And usually when we're battling depression, we've forgotten that God's in charge and not our employer. God's in charge and not our government. God's in charge and not our finances. I don't know how we're going to make it. Well, yeah, you do. God, we're going to trust God. You need courage. So when you're discouraged, it's because fear is roaring in your faith. And in the absence is faith increases courage. Where fear pulls away courage, Elijah is coming off of a huge victory, and evidently he's exhausted. Victory, exhaustion, and fear. All of them are part of the ingredients for depression. And he says, let me just die. And the other thing, notice what he says. Last part of the verse. I'm not better than any of my fathers. Starts comparing himself to others. You know, those guys I went to high school with, they're a whole lot more successful than I am. You know, that one guy I went to college with, he's a gazillionaire now, and we can't even afford groceries. Hey, in times of discouragement, don't be comparing yourself to others, especially the high school guys. Don't be comparing yourself to others. You need to be running to the Lord. Look at verse 5. What does he do? And he lay and he slept under a juniper tree. Behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, glory, hallelujah, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drank and laid down again. God helps him when he's down. How does God help him? By giving him some rest. Sometimes We are down because of physical issues, and the best thing we can do is sleep. And then, what it says, King James, get some cake to eat. Now, I don't know if that's little Debbie cakes now. This time it was probably bread, but look what it says. And an angel, behold, then an angel touched him. Remember Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14? They're all ministering spirits. Now, I don't know, just bear with me, if this was a Paula Deen kind of angel. And I don't know what kind of cake this was, if this was an ooey-gooey kind of cake, but it helped Elijah. We'll see it in a minute. He gets some sleep. He gets some food. And then he goes back to bed. A lot of times when we've been burning, and we in American society and in this culture today, where we are farming and we're working jobs and we're running 90 to nothing chasing kids and grandkids, it's easy to burn the candles at five different ends. And sometimes we just need to sleep and eat some cake. That's biblical. Look at verse 7. Angel of the Lord came again the second time, touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. Angel is ministering to his physical body. Eat this good food, for it will help you fulfill your call. In verse 8, and he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat. Look at this. 40 days, 40 nights unto Horeb. Horeb was 250 miles away. Normally, you can make that trip in 10 to 14 days. Takes Elijah 40 days. I don't know if that reminds you of anything. It reminds me of the children of Israel wandering in the desert for 40 years. So Elijah's discouraged. Elijah's defeated, and he's just kind of wondering. He's not all there. He's rested, but he's not all back yet. And so spouses, if you have a spouse that's just got some discouragement and some depression, hey, let them recover, let them recuperate. Show them a lot of grace and a lot of mercy, because they're probably going to take some time to get back to themselves. But look, this I love this. God does not forget you in times of discouragement. He came to him. Look what it says. Lowest hour. He was not abandoned by God. God came to him. Look at verse 7. And the angel of the Lord. Notice Lord is in all caps in your Bible. In Scripture, we call this in theology, it's called a theophany. It is a physical manifestation of God, Jesus, in the Old Testament. Glory, hallelujah. Do you get this? So Elijah, great Elijah, man, he was a man just like us in times of depression, in times where he just wanted to die, in times just leave me alone, let me go off and get under the tree and just die. Jesus comes to him. Jesus comes. Remember, God provided for Elijah with ravens. God provided for Elijah with a widow. This time, God provides for Elijah, brings him food, coals himself. Hey, glory, hallelujah. In times of depression, God hadn't forgot about you. God will come to you, and God not only makes house calls, God stays as long as you need him to stay. Look what it says. And the Lord came again the second time. Hallelujah, glory to God, came again the second time. Look at verse 5. And he touched him. Look at verse 7. Visited him again, and he touched him. Means to lay your hand upon him, to bless him, to help him, to encourage him. God did not come to condemn Elijah in his depression. He came to bless him, came to encourage him, came to say, Elijah, You've done great things for me in the past. And Elijah, glory to God, you're going to do great things for me in the future. So I come to you. Some of you are discouraged. The courage is gone. The fear is there. Listen to the Lord. Listen to the Lord. He's there for you, and he's got a plan for you, and you're going to come out of this season of darkness. You're going to come into the light, and you're going to do great things for him. In seasons of depression, number one, make time for recuperation. Number two, make time for revelation. Look at verse 8. And he arose, and he did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. That's some kind of energy drink. I don't know what kind of cake that was, but it had to have a lot of preservatives in it or something. 40 days and 40 nights. And look where he went. Unto Horeb, the Mount of God. Mount of God is where you go to meet God. When you go to meet with God, you're not looking down. You're not looking around. You're not looking at yourself. You're looking up. In times of depression, take time to recuperate. Sometimes you're just worn out and wasted, and you just need to sleep. But don't miss this. You need more than sleep. You need some Jesus. Get to that spiritual place. Get to that quiet place. Get to the Word and let God speak to you. Send him to the Mount of God. Look at verse 9. He came thither into a cave. He lodged there. Behold, the Word of the Lord came to him. He had to go to the Mount of God, Horeb. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Times of depression, get to that spiritual place, wherever it is. It's in your basement or if it's in that room, wherever it is, that you go to meet with God. Go in there and wait. Be still and know that I am God, and wait for the Lord. He will come. He will speak to you. And the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, Elijah, what are you doing here? Having dealt with his physical issues, now he deals with his spiritual issues. Elijah, why are you running from that crazy woman? If I can protect you from Ahab, from all of his soldiers, from those 450 prophets of Baal, you're going to let one crazy crackpot woman scare the daylights out of you? Elijah, what are you doing? Look at verse 10. Elijah answered and said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. They've thrown down thy altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Sometimes in times of depression, you're not speaking truth. Now you believe it is true. Pardon my grammar. It ain't so. Elijah believes this. I'm jealous for the Lord. Well, Elijah, really? You're not focused on the Lord right now. You're focused on Jezebel. And Elijah, you're not the only one left. There's another 6,999 left. You're wrong. But a lot of times in those seasons of depression, we believe lies that Satan has told us, and we just, oh no, this is true. It's true. I'm the only one left. And so he tells God, God, you're shut down if it's not for me. You're gone, God. I'm your last resort, God. After me, no hope. And I could just see God, Elijah, I love you, man, but you're not my hope. I'm your hope. Psalm 118, verse 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. A lot of times we think we're indispensable. Man, if I'm gone, world's going to stop. Saw this illustration. Guy brought out a bucket of water and says, stick your hand in that bucket of water. And they stuck their fist in that bucket of water. He says, all right, pull it out. The hole it leaves is the how much you're going to be missed when you're gone. You know what? The next day after you're gone, the sun's going to still come up. Will there be adjustment? Yes, there will be adjustment. But God's work will keep going on. No problems. And Elijah, he thinks he's indispensable. Look at verse 11. And he said, go forth, stand upon the mountain before the Lord. So he's trying to correct his view of God. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains, breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. A lot of times we, in this American culture, we think that it has to be big and boisterous and audacious and noisy. A lot of times in depression, God just comes, maybe when you're in the shower, maybe at 2 o'clock in the morning, and he whispers in your ear. And you got a word from God. And you don't need the bands. You don't need the lights. You don't, no. You've heard in the still small voice God speak to you. And that's what he does to Elijah. He comes back, verse 13. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle, went down and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, Elijah, what doest thou here? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down their altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I left. And they seek my life to take it. Same song, second verse, nothing new. God will not speak until you stop looking down and you start looking up. So to overcome your discouragement and your depression, you got to get your eyes off yourself. And you got to look at the greatness of God. Billy Graham said this, mountaintops are for views and for inspiration, but the fruit grows down in the valleys. And I'm here to say, in those valley times, in those difficult times, in those hard times, is where we hear the voice of God, and he changes our direction. He perfects our actions. They are good times. We shouldn't run from them. We should run to them. The American soldiers in World War II in the Japanese prison camps, stories told that they would withstand malaria. They would withstand all of these diseases. But once hope was gone, They write about it, that they would get this million-mile glare. And it was almost like they would start waving the flag of surrender. Like, I'm done. I've given up. And they would say literally, sometimes it was hours, sometimes it was a matter of days. Usually it never went more than weeks. They called it give-up-itis. And they could handle sickness. They can handle persecution. They can handle abuse. But when they gave up, they wouldn't last. Elijah is ready to give up. God, just take my life. I'm not as good as my father's. Just take mine. And God comes to him. God speaks to him and says, Elijah, I'm not done with you. And maybe that's where you are today. You're like, man, the world's caving in. I'm not going to make it. Listen to the Lord. You're not the answer. He is. And if you run to the Lord, he will get you through. In times of depression, you need some recuperation. times of depression, you need some revelation where you hear from the Lord. He speaks to you. Let me give you one more. In times of depression. And not the throes of it, but once you've been through some recuperation, once you've heard from the Lord, you need some reactivation. You need to get back to work. Now, you're in chapter 19. Look at verse 3. Notice what Elijah does. He went for his life. Came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and he left his servant there. I wonder if Elijah just quit. Hey, servant, I don't need you anymore. You just go find a job, or you go find somebody else to work for. We're done. And he left him there. They parted ways. I wonder if he quit. Look at verse 4. It's enough. Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my father's. He's saying, I'm done. I'm finished. I'm through. I'm not better than my father's. There's guilt. There's comparison. There's failure. I'm just a failure. Yeah, I did some stuff, but I walked away because of this wacko woman, Jezebel. What's God going to do to restore him? Look at verse 7. Angel of the Lord came again the second time, touched him and said, arise and eat. And notice this phrase, because the journey is too great for you. It's Elijah, I'm not done with you, boy. And you better eat some of this Paula Deen cake because we got some work for you. There's a journey, Elijah, and you better eat because I still got some work for you to do. That's my word for you today. In times of depression, recuperate, hear from the Lord, and get back on the horse. You say, no, I messed up. I fell down. I quit. I'm a quitter. I walked away. Get back on the horse. That's what Elijah, that's what I tell him. Look at verse 15. The Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Methuselah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy stead. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha say. Elijah, I got work for you to do, boy. You had a nap. You had some Paula Deen cake. Now let's get to work. That's what my mama used to say. Get up, boys. Get you something to eat. And we got work to do. That's what he says. Times of depression. It's not the period. It's the comma where you realize what we all know. We're sinners. And there is a God in heaven that we need to make it through this life and to make it to heaven. That's what Elijah was reminded. And look at verse 18. He corrects his wrong thinking. Yet, Elijah, you think you're the only one left. I have me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and even in every mouth which have not kissed him. Elijah says, I'm the only one. God says, pardon me, no you're not. This battle is a lot bigger than you. And listen, you're not fighting for victory, you're fighting from victory. Battle's the Lord's. You're fighting alongside the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is not going to lose. So you say, but I'm weary. Well, do it. I'm just weary. They don't appreciate me. They're talking about me. They just whine and whine and whine and whine. I'm weary. Be not weary in well doing. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. Lord, these people are wearing me out. Can you help me? And he will give you the strength. And he'll give you the help that you need. One of the greatest movies of all time, Chariots of Fire. Eric Liddell, lightning fast young Scotsman, was a Christian. He was running against several other runners. It came down. They ready? Start! Fired the gun. One of the guys, Eric Liddell started out fast out of the gate like he always did. Well, one of his competitors intentionally tripped him up and he fell down. Thought just, well, this race is over. But that thought didn't stay long into his head. He's like, no, as hard as he could, he jumped up and said, I'm not going to let somebody trip me up and cause me to lose after all I've done to get here to the Olympics. So he just runs, he writes, as hard as I've ever run in any race. I was way behind, but I ran and I ran and I ran, and then I started getting close. And when I started getting close, I'm like, no, 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 I'm not going to lose by a little bit. I'm going to win by a little bit. And he did. Because he didn't quit. You know what the devil wants of you to do today? Quit. He wants to discourage you. He wants to talk about how great your enemies are. He wants to tell you the Jezebels are going to hang you from the trees tomorrow. Just send them to talk to King Jesus. Say, he's my protector. He's my provider. In my times of need, Jesus doesn't just send. Jesus comes himself. Best cake you ever had, made by the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, devil, just leave me alone. The battle is the Lord's, and I'm with the Lord Jesus. Amen.